Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth.
Joshua chapter 15, verse number 20. Then I'm going to jump over and I'm going to read verse 63 because I'm not going to read all these names to you and all these villages and these cities, and you're going to be glad that I didn't, because there's about 108 of them total. Take me a long time to read all that, and I can't pronounce half of them. Joshua 15 and 20, when you found it, shout amen for me. Amen. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. Verse 63. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. Father, we thank you for letting us be here today. I thank you that I can cry, Abba, Father. How many times, Lord, have I come and I've said, Lord, forgive me again. Oh, glory to God. And that blood that's been sang about this morning from our heavenly Father, Lord, through the Son, cleanses. You have washed us from our sin in your own blood. You have blessed us again to be in your house. Help me, Lord, today. God, I've come to try to feed somebody. Lord, nothing will happen if you don't do it. So I pray you fill my mouth and guard my tongue and preach me inside the bounds of the Holy Writ. Now, these people sitting here today, God, that I know needs this word, I know, or you'd have gave me something else. So help me, Lord, and let me give it as you've given it to me and let it help you people. I'm going to glorify you for everything it's done. I'll get out of the way, Lord. I'll crawl off in a corner somewhere and wave the flag. Praise God and lift and exalt the name of Jesus, our King. In his name I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to try to preach today on this thought. Peace or pollution? Peace or pollution? Now, that don't make much sense to you right now, and I pray it will by the time I'm finished here today. Peace or pollution? We have here in Joshua has come, he's dividing the land among the children of Israel. God has told them, he said, he has told them by the mouth, as a matter of fact, of Joshua over in chapter 3, he says this. He said he's going to drive out the Hittites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, and he's going to drive out the Jebusites by your hand. He's going to drive them all out. This is all yours. And what he does to the children of Israel, stay with me, he makes them an offer. That's what he's going to do today. He's going to make an offer today. He's made them an offer. He said, here it is. Now it's going to be by your hand, but he's going to drive them out. Here's this land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's everything I said it would be. It's everything you need in this world to make your life the best it can be. It's here. You're going to get to dwell in some places you didn't even build. You'll get to feed on some vineyards you never planted. There's some things here. All you've got to do, here's all you've got to do, is walk in and occupy this place. Now, he's saying by the mouth of Joshua, I'm offering this to you. You can have peace if you want it. You can live in a place. I've known some people that lived in a spiritual realm, and it didn't matter that their house wasn't large. And it didn't matter that they couldn't drive an automobile. And it didn't matter about the things that Holly Weird would call right and the world out here would lift in accolades. None of those things mattered to them. You know what mattered to them? They're in the will of God. And you know where they lived? most of the time right in the presence of the Lord. And you know what the Lord done for them? He gave them godliness with contentment, which is great gain. They didn't have to have all this other stuff. They had everything they needed, and they was perfectly content with it. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world, lose his own soul, was in Sunday school today? He tells them by the mouth of Joshua, who is the leader that came after Moses. He said, here is the land, and it's all yours. The other inhabitants, all these people. You know why he drove them out, don't you? Because they lived in they were abomination in the eyes of the Lord. They done everything contrary to the word. They were immoral, and they were ungodly. Does that sound familiar today? Turn on the evening news. They were immoral and ungodly. And God said, I'm going to drive them out. I'm not going to put up with it, but I want to put you, because you're the ones I chose, and I want to put you in this land. And for the most part, he did. Stay with me. There's 2.5 tribes. Now, his order was this. I'm offering you the land. Here's the offer. All you got to do is occupy. Just be obedient in what I said and go in and take this that I've got for you. Well, 2.5 tribes said, this is good enough over here. I believe this is a better place for cows than over there. I believe we'll just stay over here. Us herdmen, we're going to stay on this side. God said, we're still going to cost you. You're going to have to go over and fight for the rest of them. We'll do it. But we're content to stay right where we're at. We'll just leave them there. We'll leave our kids here. We'll leave our cattle here. We'll leave our wives here. We'll go over and fight on the other side. God said, that wasn't the plan. I've told you the boundaries. I've made the offer. Will you take it? Now, from the time they entered into that land, we're speaking specifically to the inheritance of Judah. What does Judah mean? Praise. We're speaking specifically to Judah, the tribe of Judah, which means praise. Who's going to come out of this? Jesus, thank you, somebody. Hey, I got one with me today. Who's going to, no pass or fail, just shout it out. You know what it is. Something's about to happen. 108, I'm a poor mathematician. I might have missed one or two there, Parker. I don't know. But over 100 are listed in this chapter that was the inheritance of Judah. Woo! That was God's amen. Are you with me? Are anybody confused? If you're confused, raise your hand up. I'll go over all this again. Okay. We've got them. God's made the offer. He's told them to occupy. Come in and get it. It's yours. You can have it. You're going to have to take it, but it's yours. Now, here it is, Judah. 108 cities or provinces or villages. 108. And you know what they done? They took them. The implication here is that out of 108, but when they get to Jerusalem, which is at this time referred to as Jebus. Why is it called Jebus? Hasn't it always been Jerusalem? It had been Salem, but not Jerusalem. Now they're calling it Jebus. Why are they calling it that? Because the Jebusites have come in and taken over. They're Canaanite by birth, but they're Jebusite by region. The Jebusites are the ones that inhabit or live within the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Why wasn't it still Salem? When did it change? In Genesis 14, you're going to find when Abram has been out and he's rescued Lot, and when they come back, Melchizedek, the high priest of the Most High God from Salem, he's the king of Salem, which is known as Jerusalem. Here it is. He comes out, and they know who he is, and where he's from, and he tells them, and he blesses them, and at that time, it's Salem. But now they're calling it Jebus. What happened? Within about a 500-year period, that's a long time, this thing goes, you stay with me in a few minutes, and this will help you. I'll guarantee you got to get to where we're at, or it makes no sense. In that period of time, somebody had surrendered what it once was. And Salem means peace. Salem means peace. They had surrendered what used to be peace. You know how I live right now? I didn't really worry about somebody knocking my door down or protesters showing up in the yard of Mike McCoy last night. And you know why that is? It's because of where I live. Not everybody's got that, Brother Dennis. Some people woke up this morning in these United States of America and they were fearful about people outside their door. They were fearful about what was going to take place outside. Listen, they didn't know peace. You know why? Because they gave a little ground. And over this period of time, it went from Salem, which means peace, to Jebus, which means, when you run the root word of that down, it means polluted. So they go from the place of peace to a place of pollution. It's polluted in many ways. I don't know if you're with me this morning or not. But over that period of time, Randy, nearly 500 years, this thing had gone from being peaceful because the most high priest of God lived there in Salem. He was the king of Salem, and it was peaceful. Let me tell you what's happened in the lifetime of Mike McCoy. We didn't have a door key to our house. We didn't know where it was. Somebody might want to come in. There has been more. I wish some of my siblings was here. Pat knows it. Pat can amen this. There have been times my mom and daddy would get home and somebody would be at their table with coffee made, sitting at the table saying, where you been? Yep. What do you mean where I've been? Been to town, been here, been there. We've been waiting on you to get home. Ernie, some of your people was them. Where have you been? How'd they get in? The door wasn't locked. Why wasn't it locked? Because somebody might want to come by and have the coffee made for when we get home. You better not leave your door unlocked now. They called me Mac in the Coast Guard. They'd say, Mac, don't leave your keys in your truck. I just get out. I just left keys in the truck, got out. I'll start in the, whoa, Mac, get your keys out, lock your door. That won't be here when you get back. Took me a little while to get used to that. You see where I'm going? Has it changed any around us? Have we traded peace for pollution? It hadn't taken 500 years for it to happen. I don't understand where you're going here, preacher. Stay with me. So you know what the children of Judah done? They come in to Jebus there. And Brother Roland, they just tolerated them folks. They just moved right in next to them. They was in one end and they in the other. And you know what they done? They influenced them in everything they done. Utterly destroy. You better get rid of that thing. It's going to kill you. Stay with me. And they didn't do it. It's watering somebody's taters right now.
Praise the Lord.
They're satisfied to live there with them. just live amongst them. They don't know. It's not the plan of God. It's not the plan. What happens, Brother Randy? They begin to take on what they are. It's worse than COVID. It's more contagious. Now, they say this COVID is very contagious. And I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm sure it is. I know people that's had it more than one. But see, you know what one of the most dangerous things there is to become desensitized to sin. When if everybody's doing it, it must be okay. You know, the divorce rate went up, and I forget the percentage, but it was a huge percentage when they started playing daily soap operas on television. Why? Because they all sleeping around. What am I missing? I might as well get in there too. And gave a little ground.
Sure.
Not a lot of ground. We're just going to live amongst them. It's easier than fighting. Let's just be content to live here amongst them. No need to fight about it. Jebus polluted. 300, if my math is right, 396 years this continued on. Remember, somewhere within that 490-something year period, this thing had went from peace to polluted. And it's just not taking us that long. I'm just going to tell you, I'll go on record, put it on Facebook, put it on the internet. I don't know why you'd tear a statue of Grant down. Let's give a little ground. Put this on Facebook, internet, worldwide, everywhere. I don't know why you would give up. You give up six blocks of your city. You know what? They'll take nine.
Amen. Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's going from peaceful to polluted. There's an issue. There's a problem here. Listen, and it's a creeping in. And they're just saying, let's just live amongst it. It's a summer of love. Let me address my young people. These things trying to creep in on you. It'll kill you graveyard dead.
Amen.
Graveyard dead. Dead. Dead like Charlie was in that box there yesterday, and everybody in the building weeping like babies because our good friend's dead. That's reality. Oh, it'll get Hunter and Fisher and the rest of these, it'll creep right in. If you let it in, it'll creep in. It'll go from peaceful to polluted. What if somebody come in your house tonight, jerked your child up out of bed and run off with them? Say, that can't happen in these United States of America. Well, sure it can. Sure it can. It won't happen here. We got law enforcement. Oh, really? I don't know that if I was a cop today that I wouldn't quit.
Amen.
I don't know that I wouldn't just walk in and say, here's my gun that you gave me, but I got 25 more at the house, and here's my badge, you can have that, and you better not show up at my house. I don't know. That might be the way I'd respond. Now, I'm not with killing people unintentionally or intentionally. Let me correct, put that on the internet. I'm not for killing people intentionally. Don't put your knee on someone's neck and choke them to death. Don't put them in a chokehold. My Lord, you got a taser. It may hurt like crazy, but they'll wake up in a few minutes. I'm not saying some things isn't wrong. Hey, but here's what I'm saying. We begin to accept a little bit of pollution at a time. And when law and order is gone, friend, you don't have any peace. There is none. You're not preaching me too happy today, preacher. I guess I'm not. What happens? Brother Sean, they lived like this for about 396 years. Maybe plus or minus five on either side of that. And it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. My prayer room at night, I'm praying for my family, I pray for you. A lot of you, I call your name in particular. And some corporately as the body of our church. David Andresen, when I get to praying about that one that's close to home with me, and he's AKA Little Bud, and I get to thinking of the America that he's going to grow up in, I'm telling you, I begin to weep like a baby Wade, and it gets close to home. I said, my God, fix something, Lord. Fix it. And you know what the response I hear in my heart most of the time, Brother Gordon? I've been trying to fix it. They won't let me. I've made the offer. I've said, all you got to do is occupy. And they said, hey, we'll just tolerate what goes on. It's easier than fighting. Listen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal to the pulling down of strongholds. It's not with our hands and our feet. Though there is a time for a sword, Jesus said that. We got two, Jesus said, that's enough. There is that time for that personal protection. But listen, our weapons of our warfare is on our knees toward heaven, calling out to God and believing, bringing our kids to church, letting them be subjected to the word of God and letting them see mom and dad live like the Lord said live. Him being the priority and not the spare tire. Him being the thing that I live for. The one. Knowing that in him I got up this morning, Brother Junior Swofford, because the Lord said you can get up today, Mike. Right. I put my clothes on, took a shower, because God said you can do it. My son called me and said, Happy Father's Day, because God allowed him to have breath and dial my number. Glory to God. There's a lot of good things happened today. I don't want us to overlook the good things, thinking it's all bad, but I'm saying this, quit giving up ground. You ever give up ground, preacher? I'm preaching this, aren't I? You think God gives me something to preach that I don't have to eat myself and I don't have to deal with it first? Sure, I've give up ground. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have the peace than the pollution.
Amen.
You still with me? Lisa came in yesterday at the funeral service. And I don't think she'll care that I share this. People was around us when she said it. She said, I woke up this morning mad at him. She said, I thought, how dare you leave me? How dare you leave me? I said, Lisa, he didn't have no choice. Because when God says come, you're going to go. You just got to be ready to meet him. There it is. It's hard. These difficult times. It's difficult. It's a hard day. You still with me? Let's get happy. We've been sad long enough. Go to 2 Samuel chapter number 5. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. I can close this in 10 minutes. I think. Second Samuel chapter number 5 and verse number 6. When you found it, shout amen. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. They're not supposed to be there, but there they are. 400 years prior to this, God said, get them out of here. Now let's just live with them. That must have been the thought of the day, for they're still there. Nearly 400 years later, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. You see, others had tried it before, and they're saying this, we got blind guys and lame guys that can keep you out of here. Nobody else has been able to come in here. Hey, they're satisfied with the pollution. We're Jebusites. We've been here a long time. Yeah, but you're not supposed to be there. Hey, you're not supposed to be in there. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. You know what happened? They said, you can't take it. And it took a long time for one to show up that could. But one showed up and he said this. He said, you can talk all you want to. I'm coming in. I'm going to take this place. See, it started out at Jerusalem or Salem. And it's going to end up at Jerusalem. Hey, it doesn't mean it's not supposed to be Jebus. I'm about to change the name. Hey, they couldn't do it. But one come forward that could. It took a long time for it to happen. But one come forward. He said, I can take it. They said, no, you can't. And you know what? Nevertheless, he wound up with the city. It's still called the city of David unto this day. That don't make any sense to me, preacher. What has that got to do with me today? Only folks with a spiritual appetite got a bite of that bread right there. You know what happens? Friend, we are polluted. And you know what? You can't get rid of it. You can't do it. You can try. You can beg. You can pray. Listen, I'm going to speak to my young people again. There's not a parent in this room, young person, that hasn't failed miserably more than once. And don't you ever forget it, because one of these days you're going to be as old as I am if time tarry, and you're going to think back and think, you know what? That old preacher said, we're going to fail miserably. You know why? Because you're polluted. You're polluted. Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, yes, you are. I could probably make you so mad you'd never like me again by just a few words I could say to you. You couldn't do that to me, preacher. Oh, the preacher could do it before anybody else because you got confidence in me. How can they do that? Because we're polluted. We got a sin nature in us that we can't do anything about. Oh, I've hurt somebody's feelings. You give me an excuse to sin? Oh, no. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? At least you know what it says. That means no. If we say we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you with me? Why would he say that? Because we're polluted. It don't sound like there's much hope for me. Oh, yes, there is. You can stay in Jebus if you want to, but I'm just going to tell you, Jerusalem's better.
Amen.
How do I get in Jerusalem? By the blood. Bless the Lord. It took a long time for it to happen. But old John standing by the riverbank that day, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Hey, somebody about to show up, and nobody in this world can do anything about it. Devil can say, you can't have it. You're going to stay where you're at. You're going to have to live in misery, in pollution, not have any peace. But the Lamb of God took away the sin of the world. And you know what he offers today? If you want to get into Jerusalem, all you got to do is come and say, let me inside the gate. I've stayed in Jebus too long. I've tolerated it too long. I want the sweet peace of heaven. Amen. Ain't nobody can give that to you but the Son of David. and then give it to you. He'll offer it, but you've got to occupy. And he said to do that until he comes. Watch the pollution, preacher. You know what it is. You and God knows what it is. It's the thing that takes away the peace and the thing that's contrary to the blessed word of God. It's the better things. I'll tell you what it's not. It's not pride. Pride says my way's the best way. Humility said God's ways aren't my ways. Humility says his grace is sufficient. I don't know right now. That's what I think I want so bad right now. There's been things in my past that I thought if I could just achieve that, man, that's all I need. If I could just get a hold of that, and most young folks are that way. There's very few that start out on fire for God and stay in that without getting out there and messing something up. But I'm looking in the rearview mirror now. There's a lot more days behind me than there are ahead of me. And I'm telling you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that path that God had for me, that's the best path. Sure. That's the best path. You think you can't live without it right now? Listen, there's a path God's got for you. You know what it is? It's Salem. Sure. Jerusalem is that place of peace. But you know what that path that we think in our own, you know what we think is so good? It's polluted. It's Jebus. You know why there's chaos in our streets today? They've tolerated Jebus till God's letting them live in it. He let his own people live in it. You want it? You want to be miserable? I wonder how that one that got killed the other night up there in Chop City or whatever they're calling it. It's still Seattle, by the way. I wonder what the parents of that one who died. And by the way, that took a man and a woman for a child to be born. So I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, you're in the majority. I wonder what they're thinking about that. Sounded good. Let's get in here, police-free zone. Let's go into this place. I'm talking about pollution. Don't lose me. Weren't that mom and daddy's thinking today? Wish they'd have stayed out here. A little better on this side. We got up breathing this morning. We've had breakfast. We've come to church. Things are doing good. It's better right here. Oh, no. Oh, no. They thought for a moment, oh, no strings. Man, I'm in here. I can do whatever I want. Nobody under the sound of my voice or under God's heaven can do anything they want to do.
Amen.
No one. Where are you living today? So this isn't much of a Father's Day message. This is exactly a Father's Day message. If we can get the daddies out of Jebus and get into Jerusalem, it's going to be better for all involved. I'm just going to tell you, it's better to lay your head on the pillow in Jerusalem than it is in Jebus. He won't make you do it. He'll let you stay right where you are as long as you want to stay there.
Amen.
But if you want to come, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know what that means? It means the door's open. Let me see here. I'm going to live over here in the chaos and the pollution and the abominable things in the eyes of God where there's no blessing but a curse. Or I'm going to live over here where he said, I won't never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to supply your need. I'm going to give you everything you need. And I'll tell you what it turns into. a whole lot of time turns into exactly what you want. You know what I want for today, Brother Dennis, other than to see everybody in this room saved today and living in the perfect will of God. And I don't want for a thing. I got everything I need, and I'm perfectly content. I mean, if I just sat down and them say, give me a list of what you know what? I believe I'll just dwell in Jerusalem, in the city of David. And then when I leave this world, I hope we can do, somebody can say what I tried to say over Brother Charlie yesterday. He stepped into another land. Where are you living today? Verena, would you come to the piano for me? Where are you living today? Because I'm going to tell you, friend, if you're not in his peace, you're living in the pollution. Somebody dropped a bag of garbage off our road the other day, and I didn't pick it up. I should have stopped and threw it in the back of my truck. Because the next guy come through thought it'd be good just to burst it open and sling it all the way up and down the road. And I've had to look at that. Every time I drive up my road, I look at that piece of trash and think, my first thought was I'd like to smack him right in the side of the head, the guy that done that. And that's not right. But that's what I thought. Brother Stephen. My next thought was I'd like to smack myself for not picking up the garbage and putting it in my truck. Now I wouldn't have to look at that mess every time I drive up and down the road. They must think Spruce Loop's the city dump. Anybody with me? Do I need to explain that? You got to do something about it, or you have to live where you are. Play me something, sis.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.